power. Cool. How's it? Everybody doing all right? Good. You know, I think I might be in the mood for standing. I just might be in the mood. We'll see. Standing. See, this is the only way I can be taller than you guys, is when I'm standing. Because if you're standing, suddenly I'm not as tall. Let's pray. Holy Father, we thank you and we praise you. And Father, we ask that you would teach our hearts today a very important lesson, a life lesson, a lesson that reflects who your Son is and who you are. Lord, teach us to be a friend. You're a friend who sticks closer than a brother. May your life be an example to ours. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, as I said, we're going to deal with a very important issue, and that is the issue of friendships. Just this week, we had a prayer request come across from one of you guys, maybe not in this room, but somebody in Velocity. And they were asking us to pray that this person can meet a friend. And this is, you know, and the thing is, this is a very common prayer request in Velocity. It's not unusual, you know, oh, pray that I will meet some friends. I've been coming to Velocity and I haven't met any friends. And so we're going to talk about, well, this morning's message is from Proverbs 18. A man who has friends must himself be friendly, but there's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. But as I said, you know, friendships are one of the most valued possessions that we can have, yet for some is a very difficult and painful area in their lives. And so my hope is that you who are have no difficulty meeting friends will reach out to those who do, and those who have difficulty meeting friends would have the courage, I hope, to give you practical things so that you can learn to meet a friend and be a friend. And that's an important thing. So, as Christians, we should be looking to serve and love all people, especially the body of Christ, with acceptance. I hope you guys grow in maturity, that your life isn't, oh, this is my circle of friends, and I don't talk to anybody because they dress funny, they look funny, they talk funny. Whatever excuse that may be, I hope we learn to grow maturity and look beyond surfacey things. The outward things. Okay. And so it's important that we look at the heart of people. And you know, the thing is, you might meet a dear friend in the most different and unique places. This person may end up being very different from you, but God might have that connection, give you a connection with that other person's heart, and you become lifetime friends. And so this message, we're going to look how friendships are treasure, friendships to be tendered, and friendships that are trustworthy. First of all, let's look at friendships are treasure. Did I tell you where it's at? 18, Proverbs 18, 24. This is a mystery Bible study. Yeah. Is everybody there? 18, verse 24. It's the last verse, I think. Okay. A man who has friends must himself be friendly. Did you notice the one who has friends? What does this person do? He is what? Friendly. Yeah. He is friendly. That means he's taking an active part. Sometimes in our friendships, You know, we just sit there and we say, man, I hope somebody talks to me. I hope they come and say hello to me. And we don't do anything. And we don't make any friends. But we as people must go out and meet people, be friendly. And I know for some it's painfully hard because they're painfully shy. Well, if everybody is trying to be friendly and those shy people, you know, they're trying to go out and meet people too, the really extra friendly people will end up meeting up with you and you might become friends. And so we need to be active. Now, I want to give you, six practical things that we ought to do to make friends, especially as Christians. Decide in our hearts that we will love people. Decide in your hearts that you will love people. You know, and so how do we love people? Is it like you see somebody, you're going to send them flowers? No. You know, does it mean you're going to have all these gushy feelings? No. Do you guys remember the golden rule? All right, what is it, Ian? Very good. Treat others how you would want to be treated, right? So decide to love people. And so treat people how you would like to be treated. How do you want a stranger to treat you, Ian? Yeah, he doesn't want to be kidnapped. I think of that VeggieTale movie, Jonah. What were they doing with each other in Nineveh? Do you guys remember the Jonah? Slapping each other with fish. None of us want to be slapped with fish, so don't slap others with fish. Be kind. Be friendly. Be, you know, treat people well. So decide to love that we will love people. Second, treat all people with respect and kindness. Just treat them good. Third thing, very important. And I think this is a very important tool in learning how to meet friends. Is smile when people look at, smile when we look at people and continue smiling. See, sometimes some people get very shy. Don't want to look at anybody. And you know what that does? That makes you unapproachable. And they're going, man, that person doesn't seem too friendly. And you know, and they probably are really friendly people and really cool friends, but you're afraid to look at people and you're shy. Try to, you know, hi. You know, try to get out of that shell. And I know it's difficult. Be gracious and happy to see a familiar face. When you guys begin a new class in school, what do? You first day of school, you're looking around. You're saying, you're scanning the place. Who do I know? Who do I know? And then you see a face. Hey, how's it going? You know, be happy to see a familiar face. And fifthly, be patient. That person might be as shy as you are. Sometimes shyness is overlooked as somebody being conceited. Oh, they think they're too good. And the truth of the matter is, they don't think that at all. They're just painfully shy. And so, be patient. Be patient. And when you meet somebody, be genuinely interested in their interests. You know, I was studying this last night, and you know, they said, look for people with common interests. And, you know, and that's cool. If you have common interests, you could build a relationship on that. But sometimes you'll meet people, and you really don't have the same interests. But if you're a person who likes to meet people and understand people and just have a love of life, I think, you'll want to know, oh, well, you're interested in that? Well, tell me about it. Oh, really? And you know, the cool thing, it enlarges you because you learn about something else that you were never knew about, and you're a more well-rounded person. So have a curious attitude. learn to appreciate their interest and grow from the experience. So friendships are treasure to be sought after. So we need to be active at it. And, you know, those folks who are shy in here, there might be some in here. You know, I know it's difficult, but try to reach out. You know, and begins with your physical presence. You know, smile at people, acknowledge people. And, you know, it may open their hearts to your heart and a friendship can be developed. Sam, you want to share anything on this?
Oh, I was just thinking that 421 is a good opportunity.
421. I'm glad you brought that up. You know, Calvary is a really big church. And I know you guys probably don't have this problem or whatever. But look for opportunities to serve. You know, here in this ministry, 421, go to the activities that Velocity has. We're going to have a Christmas party next month. Go to it. Go to the ski retreat. You don't have to go skiing. Maybe you'll meet somebody there if you're having trouble meeting friends. Get involved. Be involved in the activities. Another great place to meet friends is the discipleship, right? Yeah, even, you know, just acknowledging people does an amazing things. You know, I think as believers, we should acknowledge every human being. You know, you may not know their name and you see them in church all the time. You know, just say hello. You know, hello. And, you know, and eventually maybe that hello will turn into a conversation. You know, it's kind of weird. I'll be in the children's ministry, you know, taking my daughters. And, you know, I think last week was a good example. There's these two guys who started talking to me, you know, and I'm like, where do I know them from? And, you know, I talked to them, you know, sometime down the road. It could have been at a men's ministry thing or something. But, you know, just say hello. You know, even if it's the nod, huh? You know. How's it going? You know, it could be really surfacey conversation at first, but eventually maybe that surfacey conversation will be a more meaningful conversation. So that's good. Okay, friendships are to be tendered. If you were a gardener, what do? To it? You tender it. You turn the soil over. You plant the seeds. You fertilize. You water. It takes activity. Friendships need work. Well, you know, the first thing I also want to say, another thing I want to say about friendships is friendships are sometimes for a season. Sometimes they're for a season. How many of you have the same best friend as you did in kindergarten? Wow, that's cool. I don't. Or the first grade. Do you have the same best friend? Sometimes they change from season to season. Yes. Eureka. And so, but that's okay. But if you're a good friend, your friendship with that person may continue in a different season. You know, might have been best buds in the first grade, but in the third grade, you're in the same class again and you become friends again. You start hanging out with each other. My best friend in the first grade was my best friend in the third grade. And then my best friend in the third grade, we were okay friends in junior high, and then we became friends again in high school. And this was the friend who shared the gospel with me. You know, your lives have an impact on others. God can use you to share your life, your friendship, to share the gospel with other people. Your friendship should make the other person better. You know, you would never introduce your friends, if you're a true friend, into drugs or something that's sinful. your friendship is to build this other person up. I mean, if he's not a Christian, you should be praying for your friend that he would receive the gospel of Jesus Christ, just as my friend did. And so, also some practical tips. Good friendships require listening. Any relationship requires listening. It's not a monologue. You know, there's got to be what they call a dialogue. You got to give and take, give and take.
It's like a conversation.
Absolutely. Yeah, you know, I mean, would you like to have a friend who did all the talking and every time you tried to say something, they interrupt you and keep on talking? Exactly. But it requires listening. It requires give and take. Good friends are protective. They care about their friends. They're going to stick up for them. They're going to keep private things private unless it's a sinful matter and their parents need to know. Then it's a loving thing to tell them. Friendships are truthful. If you have a really good friend and you share personal things, and you know, and Ian might say, you know what, brother? That's not good. God doesn't want you to do it that way. And he'll be honest and truthful, not because he thinks he's better than you or anything, because he cares for you. I heard a quote that says, good friends stab each other in the front. Not in the back, in the front, because they care for you. Yeah. Cool. Jonathan was a genuine friend to King David. When Jonathan's father, Saul, planned to kill David, what did Jonathan do? David, my dad wants to kill you. You got to get out of town. And the story of Jonathan and David are one of the good friendships that are illustrated in the Bible. And so we got to be protective of one another. Good friends overlook faults. Believe it or not, we all have faults. Can you believe that? We have faults. I won't tell you mine, but I got a lot of them. Ask my wife. But a good friend overlooks faults. See, true friendships is about others, not just about ourselves. And so, a genuine friend accepts us, warts and all. I've been blessed to have the same friends. Gosh, you know, one of them since high school. We still fellowship together. And the cool thing is, a lot of us got saved at the same time. We all got saved at the same time. And we all started going to church at the same time. And, you know, and we all went to the school of ministry at the same time. And it was awesome. But you know what? Over the years, they overlooked my warts, my faults, you know, my attitudes. They were good at it. Another thing, good friends build us spiritually. A genuine friend in Christ wants you to become more like Christ. A person once said, a friend is one who knows you as you are, understands you, where have you been, accepts you, you've become, and still gently invites you to grow in Christ. A true friend wants you to grow in Christ. You know, I think Sam and I, we truly want to see all of you grow in Christ. You know, we want to be a friend to all of you. And we, you know, our heart's prayer, our heart's desire is that we see each and every one of you grow. Also, your best friends aren't necessarily those you play with or shop with. They are those who pray for you and you for them. Do you pray for your friends? If you don't, start praying for them. Start praying for them. Let them know that you're praying for them. And genuine friends express their love in word and mostly in deed. You know, Love is mostly demonstrated through our actions. You know, I can send my wife a Valentine's Day card, but, you know, that day, if I yell at her and be a real jerk, you know, but I love you, honey. You know, it's not going to hold much weight. It's going to be the action. And so, friendships are to be tender. Now, let's look at friendships are to be trustworthy. Let's read verse 24 again. A man or woman who has friends must himself be friendly, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Well, there are some friendships that will be closer than blood relationships. Jonathan and David were great examples. But there's one friendship, a friend who sticks closer than a brother, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Think about what kind of friend Jesus is. He knows everything about you. He knows the future about you. He knows everything about you, yet he was willing to lay his life down for you. Would you lay your life down for your friend? You probably, if you're like me, you probably will like have, well, I don't know. Think about it. But Jesus laid it down. Now, the amazing thing is, and Jesus even says, oh, it's easy for a man to lay his life down for his friends, but it's much more difficult to lay his life down for his enemies. And that's what Jesus did. While we were sinners, Jesus died for us. And so, earthly friendships will let you down time to time and disappoint you, but Jesus will never let you down or disappoint you. Now, things in life may happen. You think, oh, I'm so disappointed in God. I've been praying for something, and he didn't answer it. I'm so disappointed. And you're just thinking of you, but you forget that God answers according to his wisdom, according to what is best for you. And what you think is good for you may not be the same as what God thinks is good for you. And so, wow. Amen, Lord. No. So we need to have the maturity to accept it and appreciate how God shows his love towards us as his friends. You know, so your friends will let you down. Even your godly friends will let you down. But remember, there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother that he promised that he will never leave you nor forsake you. Jesus made that promise. He promised that when ye knew that you would sin and you would do probably something you shouldn't be doing, he's not going to say, ha, I give up. He's a rascal. He's not my friend no more. He wouldn't do that. But we would do that, but God wouldn't do that. So let's talk about some vertical friendships God desires. I think of Moses in Exodus 30, chapter 33. It says, you don't have to turn there. And the Lord spoke unto Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. You want to speak to God face to face? Good morning, Lord. What do you have to say? The Word of God will speak to you face to face, just as God spoke to Moses face to face. Be in His Word. James writes this, and the scripture was fulfilled. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. You want to be a friend of God? Yeah, I want to be a friend of God. Well, what made Abraham a friend of God? He believed God. Not only he believed God, he acted upon the promises of God. So, God, I want to be your friend. I'm going to believe you, and I'm going to act upon your promises. I'm going to obey you. That's being a friend of God. Jesus said this, no longer I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master's doing, but I have called you friends, for the things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Again, Scripture reveals the heart and mind of God. You want to be a friend of God? Here he's offering friendship, and we can receive it by faith like Abraham, act upon it like Abraham, read his words and understand God's heart and mind, and the Lord calls you friends. And so, how we treat others is how we treat Jesus. You know, and here we're going to take a turn on something, is our worship is determined on how we treat other people. How we worship God is determined how we treat other people. You know, there, we can go to church and we can sing the songs and we can say all the right hallelujah things and go through the motions. But if we treat people badly, that's how we're treating the Lord Jesus. When we come to, let's say, Velocity, and we see that person and they're a little bit different from you, and they're sitting in the corner and we just ignore them because we think they're weird, you know, we're treating the Lord Jesus that way. I'll prove it to you. In Matthew, it's a long verse, so be patient. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on the throne of heavenly glory, and all the nations will be gathered before him. And he will separate people from one another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on the right and the goats on the left, and the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance. The kingdom is prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came and visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you sick in prison or visit you?" The king will reply, "I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." See, how we treat the least of people, the most unlovely in your heart, is how we treat the Lord Jesus. And that's painful, because, you know, sometimes we cop attitudes towards people. Sometimes we you know, "I don't know, that person's a little bit different." But God wants us to step out of our comfort zone and reach out and treat others as an act of worship, as an act of, "I'm going to show the love of God to this person." Now, it doesn't mean you're going to become best friends, but it's an attitude of loving and treating people with kindness and compassion. It's the attitude. And so we should reach out to others in friendship. And so let's close up. Friendships matter to God. From the last verse, we looked how friendships is an extension of our worship. And it's how we treat others that God looks at. And that's important. And I pray that each and every one of us here, God will work in our hearts and transform us to reach out to others, to treat others with kindness. You know, to see that kid nobody talks to, that you would look him in the eye and say hello, and you know, and treat that person with kindness. You know, that person may end up to be your best friend. I don't know. He may be that friend who sticks closer than a brother. I don't know. But we should treat people kindly. And so in our application, again, I'm going to repeat those six things that I said in the beginning. And our application is, decide in your heart that you're going to love people. Decide in your heart. Ask God to place that love. Treat others how you would like to be treated. Treat all people with kindness and respect. Smile at people when we look at people, and continue smiling. Have that open face. You know, and some of us are shy, and you know, I could be a shy person, believe it or not. And, you know, and I know the difficulty, but we have to try to come out of our shell. Be gracious and happy to see a familiar face. Like I'm always happy to see you guys. And finally, be patient. They may be as shy as you are. Be patient. See? And now you're not so shy. And finally, let's end with this. Be genuinely interested in the things they're interested in. You know, ask questions. You know what I discovered about people? Especially when you meet somebody and you get talking, is they like to talk about themselves. Good way to discover somebody. All right, let's pray. Well, Father, here we have it. And Lord, we ask that you would help change our hearts if we're shy. And Lord, but help us to be gentle as doves. Help us to touch others how you want us to touch them, to love them with the love of Christ, to look at people with compassion and kindness and respect. I pray, Lord, that you would enlarge our paths in that. And I pray, Lord, as velocity, as we grow in maturity and age, that we would learn to reach out to others for your name's sake. We love you and we praise you, Jesus. Amen.